We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Time to start talking draft. We are on the eve of the NFL draft with all sorts of craziness going on. Weird position for the Bears to be in at the moment, and for you as a Bears fan to be ready for pick, what, 87?
87.
Around at the moment.
But here's the thing. And I heard this earlier this morning when our guy Rich Campbell was talking with Mully and Luke Kanellis, who was in for David Haw. And it's something that you and I have been kicking around since the season ended, right? I mean, we were talking with Hub. I want to say it was not the week after the stoinkage to the Eagles, but the week after that, perhaps. And it was brought up that, listen, the one thing we know about Ryan Pace when it comes to the NFL draft is that the guy's moved up. The guy's used his collateral. He's used his arsenal. Once he's identified a player, to be aggressive and get that player. Sometimes he's had maybe been taken advantage of. Sometimes he's gotten his guy. Sometimes it's been both.
But the way I look at it in his position, if I'm an NFL general manager, I don't have my job for very long, even if I'm good at it.
Mm-mm.
These guys don't get long runs. The Bears are in their window.
Yes.
He's on top of the world. He is executive of the year. Executives of the year also get fired sometimes in short order, just like coaches of the year do. It just happens that way. But there's no tomorrow. You've made all these moves. So what if you keep mortgaging here and there? This is your job for right now in a time when your coach is coach of the year. You're expected to win. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if he goes in and sells out some years down the road, because we don't let that GM make up for those.
I'm with you. I expect bold strokes, and I don't mind them when they happen from Pace, especially when it comes to the draft. And I'll double down on that math. Remember, tomorrow's not promised to you. The next season's not promised to you. You're not promised a whole bunch of health on your defense the way you were last season. Hell, for that matter, the offense was relatively healthy when it comes to other NFL rosters. I mean, they weren't starting a whole, you know, they weren't starting five backup offensive linemen like we saw, I think, twice. The Giants game, and I don't know, I think the Dolphins had a whole bunch of offensive linemen down. Maybe it was the Buccaneers. Maybe it just looked that way because they were that bad. You have to win now while Mitch is being paid on his rookie deal. It's so much easier to do just from a balance sheet standpoint, just from a math standpoint. You got Eddie Jackson, who's going to get a whole bunch of money. You decide to keep him. Ha, Clinton Dix could be in line. I mean, if he does what you expect him to do on this, you know, the 1 year, this one kind of prove it year, then his price tag goes up as well. So you've got some increasing numbers there set around some young and incredibly good players. That's a good problem to have, but it's all predicated on being able to pay Mitchell Trubisky what you're paying him, which is not all that much when it comes to being a great quarterback. If he takes that next step and he's underpaid, that's exactly what you want. You might as well press some of the future armory into service now.
So you're willing to be really bad in a couple years, not maybe 5 years, but 3 years.
But they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, though, are they?
Well, if you're mortgaging your future, yes. Because they're going to have to cut some guys that are making money, and you're not going to have the draft capital to get new guys in under rookie contracts. You're going to have to go out and find other veterans in free agency.
Well, you're going to have to continue to draft well in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. That's the issue.
That's assuming they miss on a lot of these picks.
So you're assuming. No, it's not really, because if you just go by average hit rate.
Right.
So if you go by average hit rate, then the Bears still need volume and picks. Ryan Pace didn't get elite. Like, he's not hitting every single mid and late round.
Absolutely
pick.
True.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, if you're saying, listen, while we're paying Trubisky, we're not going to win. If that's just what you're saying altogether and you put that out there, then I guess fine. But the thing is, you're going to need to fill in positions, so you can't keep mortgaging everything for right now.
I agree, not everything, but remember too,
but if it's one of your second round picks next year that you have.
Sure, but once you're predicating this also on, like, once you pay Mitchell Trubisky, the assumption I think that you might be making is that Mitch will just be the guy we've seen. Once they pay Trubisky, the hope is that he is the kind of quarterback you win because of. That he, just like Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years in Green Bay, was able to outperform a roster that wasn't as deep as it used to be. That just because, listen, I don't have that kind of grade on Mitchell Trubisky at this point. I think he gets to being a much better quarterback. I'm not saying that I'm set on a win because of future for him. But they may be, and if they're paying him, they damn well better be.
But you still need some sort of supporting cast around him.
True.
And especially when you look on the offensive side, a lot of your weapons outside of Tariq Cohen, free agent, big money guys who are probably going to have to go at some point to allow Trubisky to get paid, or your defense is just going to get a little older, get more expensive, and it's going to regress, and there's going to need to be more effectiveness from the offense. But if you don't have those top 100 picks to constantly rotate through and churn through your depth chart, then what are you ending up doing? Then you're turning into the Redskins of years of, like, the when Daniel Snyder was really in charge of that operation, and he was just trading everything away.
One side might be you're going to have to lose these guys anyway. Would you rather use the draft to avoid being awful, or would you rather use the draft now to try and be great? And how do you make one match the other? How do you make those risk decisions match up in a reasonable fashion? And maybe they've got a way of bridging that gap.
I'm just trying to think of any instance where a team has given away, assuming, like, let's say for sake of argument, what they wanted to do involved in this draft involved trading away one of their second round picks for next year.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you think of an instance where a team has traded away that many high picks in consecutive years and been able to sustain success really at all?
No, because the answer would be if you could guarantee they win a Super Bowl in there, and then you would think it doesn't matter at this point, if you could guarantee it, but you can't. I mean, you could do everything right and still have Cody Parkey hit the upright.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I keep on going back to Green Bay, because that's the quarterback that gets paid a lot and a roster that hasn't performed much. In a different way, Green Bay picked a whole bunch of defensive backs over the last, what is it? We've talked about this a lot with them. It's like through the last 3 or 4 years. And they've gotten nothing out of those draft picks. So because they got nothing out of those guys, you can kind of compare them to the Bears situation, who literally can't draft anyone because they don't have the picks. They're able to succeed because that guy's as good as he is. Even still, getting into the playoffs, winning once you've gotten there, winning more Super Bowls, that's a valid criticism put on the Green Bay Packers era of Aaron Rodgers the last 10 years.
Some really bad texting going on. Pace doesn't have the track record to be allowed to mortgage the future. What do you say? You're limiting what your executive of the year can do based on what again? No, and this says if they pay Mitch, another from the 847.
That's true.
Yeah, I think they're going to
you
pay
would
Mitchell.
Expect
yes.
It. I suppose there's no, they're paying Mitch. I mean, it's you don't make the trade that you did, invest all that you have, and pick your coach based on his likelihood of meshing with a quarterback to not pay the guy. I think the writing's on the wall there.
And then there's this guy who says, no one at the score supported any of Pace's decisions until Mac. That's not true. We liked some, didn't like
supported
some.
Supported some and not others. I think Ryan Pace's history prior to...
I supported the Trubisky decision.
Sure. I think you could pick apart each one pretty individually. Yeah. He's got a couple of draft picks in the fourth and fifth that really matter.
I love how wrong the blanket is. No one at the score supported any. Right. So not a single person anywhere in any of the many, 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 many hours, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours, no one supported anything Ryan Pace did. I think in general, I have been pro Ryan Pace from the beginning. He's made some mistakes that are probably not necessarily defensible, especially with the kicking position.
Well, but, yeah, the kicking position, the first handful of free agent contracts signed.
Yeah, a lot of bad ones. But in general, on balance, I think I've tried to give him a fair shake. To prove himself as for a guy who's never done this before,
well, I think you have to. And from my perspective, I wasn't necessarily looking for the opportunity to give out that said fair shake. But once he earned it, with Eddie Jackson. He earned it with Jordan Howard. He earned it with a couple of picks that have made a big difference for them in the middle rounds. I think that changes for me, being able to identify talent and getting it in the middle rounds like that, that means something in terms of your ability to evaluate talent and in terms of your ability to make up for some roster decisions that he's clearly made. Look, the Kevin White thing, I was all about Kevin White. I was all about Kevin White. I watched him a ton when he was playing his last 2 years at West Virginia and really thought that that was going to be a thing. I was all in on it. I was wrong the same way he was. And it wasn't even about him getting hurt. I don't, as much as it is, it's not. I don't even know if he had the talent to run a bunch of routes or be the guy he was at the combine with those kind of wheels and skill set. It doesn't seem that he had the ability to play wide receiver. So that evaluation just has to be part of it, as much as the whole breaking the leg and then lying to everybody about it and covering up. That all matters. That all matters.
This segment brought to you by Goodwill. Every time you shop at Goodwill, you wield the power to put people to work. Every purchase enables Goodwill to help someone develop a resume, learn interview skills, or get a job. You shop, they train, people work. Visit AmazingGoodwill.com for a Goodwill store near you. I'm also thinking this, too.
What?
This is now, more than ever, Matt Nagy is Coach of the Year. He's the hot thing. Can't he swagger down the hall and walk into Ryan's office and put his feet up on Ryan Payson's desk and say, Ryan, booby, here's what we're doing.
I'm your white knight.
I'm your white knight. Here's what we're doing. This is what I need. This is what I need. Go get me toys.
Okay, well, let's look back before we look forward then. Do you think in any way that his discussion with Bears reporters after the season was over about his phone calls with Kareem Hunt, do you think that in any way that was him saying Hunt's booby? Because I don't, not necessarily, but I do think it opens the door a little bit as to his level of comfort explaining what his offense wants, what he needs. I think that was part of it. I don't think it was a demand by any stretch, but I do think it was pretty obvious
what he's
doing.
On brand. We know that he likes fast guys. He likes versatile fast guys.
Who happen to have led the league in rushing the year before.
Right. Do you have enough versatile fast guys? No, I do not.
I'd like more.
And the thing is, the running back is also a volume position. Tariq Cohen's wonderful. I don't think he's going to stay healthy. He's a shrimp, and he takes big hits. It's fact. He's a human being. He's a very small human being for relative to the NFL.
He goes backwards so often.
He gets hit hard a lot.
He gets hit by the guy while he's going backward. It happens. I love him as much as anybody else. But yeah, that style of runner usually gets hit worse than the other guy.
So go ahead and get a bunch of guys. Get a lot of little fast guys that he wants. And I know his receivers, he doesn't like the big lumbering long striders. He likes the little quick guys.
But that's where Rick's point kind of gets brought up here, is that if you're trying to fill out the roster with quantity, you've got one ability to do that. And that's maybe even, I doubt he's trading back to pick up more guys. Only because the value at 87 probably, who knows how the draft falls. It's a fair point, but you don't have the thing that picks up a whole lot of value. You have the 87.
If a GM can only do one thing well, he only has one way to go about it, then he's not as good of a GM as you think. So if he can't trade back and still be effective as much, as long as the board presents it that way,
yeah. If his guy's gone, don't invent another guy.
Right. That's the thing. And that's why I think everybody is just saying he has been aggressive, so he's going to be aggressive, even when it doesn't make sense to be aggressive. No, he could, if he's as good as everybody seems to think, he should evaluate the board and also see, maybe this is time to recoup some value if the board falls a certain way.
Yeah, head on back a little bit and pick up two or three.
I don't understand this thing. 2-2-4. Prior to this past season, the Score as a station has advocated for Pace's firing. That goes for on-air and production staff. Stop lying.
I wasn't here prior to this last season.
You didn't get that email that we all
got?
What
are you talking about? This nothing happens as a station, and it's flatly wrong.
Quit lying about our Score position meetings all agree to have the same thoughts.
There's no such thing as a station. And first of all, advocating for his firing as what are you talking about?
Remember all the station promos
we were running?
Possibly Ryan Pace was
be
just
talking
whole
about.
Big voice guy was
Come
doing
on.
It.
I need a single digit number from you, first of all, before we do anything else.
Six. Give me six.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Caller six to the contest line, 312-591-6700 wins dinner for Cinco. Five guests at Chuy's Tex-Mex restaurants, your official Cinco de Mayo headquarters, locations in Orland Park, Warrenville, and Schaumburg.
It is time.
Yes, it is spring. An annual rite of spring. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Guess what time it is?
Let's play Who's Your Guy.
I'm ready for it. Let's go. Let's do some draft homework, shall we?
That's up next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight bring you Who's Your Guy?
George, who's your guy?
My guy is Derwin James, defensive back out of Florida State.
Got to the end zone, intercepted! Picked off by Derwin James, the rookie continues to impress.
My guy is Lamar Jackson, quarterback.
Jackson fakes it, running left. Can he get in the end zone? He can!
John, I have one question for you, and that question is, who's your guy?
Baker Mayfield's my guy.
Mayfield under pressure, fires to the end zone, and the catch is made for a touchdown.
My guy is Anthony Miller, wide receiver.
Todd Miller at the 25 of Detroit, breaks a tackle to the sideline, end zone, touchdown.
Let's do it. Who's your guy? Brought to you by Bettenhausen, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Tinley Park. Welcome to Musselville during Dodge Performance Days going on now at Bettenhausen, Dodge, and Tinley Park. Bettenhausen has over 1,000 new vehicles to choose from, all delivered with one person, one price. The one way to buy since 1992. Showroom open 24/7 at BettenhausenCDJR.com. Ready?
Ready.
We're all ready?
Let's
Are we
do
set?
This.
Kenny in Dixon, you're on the score. Who's your guy?
From Iowa State, running back David Montgomery.
David Montgomery is, in fact, from Iowa State, running back at 5'10", and he weighs 222 pounds. His strengths.
He's learned how to speak Spanish fluently in 4 months.
He's a chess champion.
He's got a compact frame built for the rigors of his work. Instinctive runner with ability to stack moves. Patient runner with plus vision up to the second level. Glides behind his bigs and sets up his blocks. Gears up and down to counter flowing linebackers. Rhythmic, but forceful. Offers no easy outs for tacklers. Powerful lower body creates rare contact balance. Adequate agility to elude one tackler, then punish the next. Takes care of the football and rarely fumbles. Plays with shake at the top of his route.
Yum.
Natural hands with ability to pluck it outside his frame.
The artificial hands are not recommended.
Good blitz recognition in pass protection. His weaknesses.
You suck. Go to hell. Don't come back. We don't need you.
Heavy workload over the last two seasons. Has carried it 20-plus times in 13 of his last 19 games. Takes his fair share of heavy hits. Runs with some tightness in his hips. Unable to make steep cuts against the grain on backside. Below average burst to open space. Low number of explosive carries during his career. Lacks pure speed to outrun NFL linebackers to the corner. Makes a tackler miss, but doesn't have the juice to get away from the next one. In summation, and this from a scouting director with an AFC team. That's my guy. If he gets with the right team, he's going to be the best running back to come out of this class, and you won't have to draft him any earlier either. One of the safest runners in this draft. With a desirable combination of size, vision, toughness, and creativity, he runs with impressive calm and instincts in the midst of interior mayhem, weaving and battering his way through traffic. Smart teams will recognize the ability. He is a pro-ready game day two draft pick with great value as an NFL starter.
His name again?
David Montgomery, the running back from Iowa State.
Mark in Michigan City, who's your guy?
My guy is tight end Jace Sternberger, Texas A&M, 6'4", 250 pounds.
Well, you gave height and weight for Jay Sternberger of Texas A&M. Here are his strengths.
Right!
Fleet of foot athlete, uses swift release to accelerate into his routes. Strong to the football, finishes in crowded windows. Comfortable working the middle of the field in skinny posts. Highly competitive as a ball carrier. Legs churn at contact. Doesn't go down easily. Big play threat with seam skills and yak skills. Productive when the field shrinks in the red zone. Willing blocker. Coaches speak highly of work ethic and conditioning habits. Weaknesses.
What?
Lean, muscled player. And I love that sound drop. And lacks ideal bulk, allows the ball to get on top of him at times. Not a detailed route runner at this point in his development. Inconsistent sink and snap when attempting to leverage route breaks. Late to cut off rushers as an inline blocker. Hands land wide, leading to off-balance reps at the point of attack. In sum, a one-year starter at Texas A&M, Sternberger emerged the centerpiece of the passing game, lining up split-out wing online. Despite only one season in college, he's the most productive tight end, one of the most productive tight ends in school history. Work in progress as route runner and blocker, NFL ceiling closely tied to development. Overall, Sternberger, vertical pass-catching target with athleticism and warrior toughness to be a mismatch weapon, projecting as an NFL joker tight end. You want to hear something amazing?
Give it to me.
He's graded by Dane Brugler, third round, number 87 overall.
That's your guy.
Whoa. A little hair on the back of your neck stands
That's
up there.
Your guy.
That's Jace Sternberger. We move on. John in South Elgin, you're on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score. Who's your guy?
Happy draft week, boys. We got Devin Singletary, running back, Florida Atlantic.
You gave the school and the spot. He goes 5'7 and weighs 203. Here are his strengths.
This guy speaks the King's English. He's very thoughtful. Everybody loves him.
High-end production seems to follow him. Touchdown monster with vision and power near the goal line. Quick to process and respond to oncoming traffic. First responder rarely gets him down. Twitchy footwork for instant stop starts. Limber for long lateral jump cuts. Instant acceleration after short area cuts to avoid tacklers. Shrinks to sneak in and out of creases between the tackles.
Ooh.
Access to steep backside cuts. Eludes lurking angle tackles with plus peripheral vision.
Oh.
Good for bold cuts versus subtle ones
and
in the
cuts.
Open field. Willful, determined demeanor of a much bigger back. Rare ability to absorb powerful shots and balance through contact. Runs frequently and with him still on his feet. Creates power and shake to maximize each carry. Route separation to threaten out of the backfield. Courageous pass protection with a highlight reel full of greatest hits. His weaknesses.
Who do you think you are? I am!
Volume runner in a change of pace. Body has a close to 600 contact-filled touches over the last two seasons. Lacks top-end speed to run away from opponents in space. Play speed tends to be monotone throughout the rep. Rarely keeps runs play side and looks for early cuts. Excessive cuts will be met with earlier tackles from swarming NFL defenders. Will need to learn a more disciplined track. Tendency is to bounce it to his left. Power diminishes when facing squared contact. Suffers from focus drops this season. In summary, he's an undersized three-down back with rare improvisational skill and toughness through contact to squeeze every yard he can from each carry. Singletary was asked to catch it less in 2018, but he's a tough cover out of the backfield and has the dog in him to step up and deliver a lick in blitz pickup. He ran poorly and did not test well in short area quickness events at the combine, which could hurt his draft standing, but might not deter him from NFL success as a complimentary runner. Round 5 projection for running back Devin Singletary out of Florida Atlantic.
This is porn.
That was wow.
This is draft porn. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Next up in Lake in the Hills, it's Andy on the Score. Andy, who's your guy?
My guy is Daryl Henderson, running back from Memphis.
Daryl Henderson, running back from Memphis. He's shade over 5'8", weighs 208 pounds. His strengths.
I'm a tender lover.
Built low to the ground, maintains his balance on contact, shifts gears to skillfully weave through the defense, destroying pursuit angles. Owns a dynamic plant burst accelerate sequence through the hole. Doesn't just rent it.
Oh no, he owns it.
And we'll,
down payment and everything.
We'll lease it out, actually. You have to rent it from him. Able to laterally juke from trouble, good feel for inside-outside zone, quick reads, instinctively strings moves together, gravitates towards space. At his best, off tackle, using a runaway to turn on the Jets, big play threat. His 8.23 yards per carry in his career, number one in FBS history. Kick return experience, reliable, finishing when targeted, nifty after the catch. Weaknesses.
That sarcastic Star Trek fan, you must be a devil with the ladies.
Undersized build with limited growth potential. Average run power. Needs to better lower his pads to create momentum through contact. Swerves around corners instead of putting his foot in the ground and making sharp turns. Better initial acceleration than long speed. Indecisive at times in the backfield. Most of his broken tackles came outside the tackles. Active in the screen game, but didn't run diverse routes or routes. Room to improve ball security. 4 fumbles last 2 seasons. Wasn't asked to pass protect on a regular basis. The summary says he leaves Memphis number 2 in most rushing categories behind D'Angelo Williams. At his best when he can slash and weave through gaps, using open field moves to make defenders look silly at the second level. Isn't much of a grinder inside. Won't be a type of home run hitter due to average long speed. Overall, faces a significant jump in difficulty level in the NFL. But his combination of balance, agility, and run instincts helps him gravitate toward space, projecting best in a zone-heavy scheme. Darrell Henderson, running back from Memphis, projects as a third-rounder per Dane Brugler, number 80 overall. Joe in Lincoln Park, you're on the score. Who's your guy?
My guy is Miles Sanders, running back, Penn State.
He good.
Miles Sanders goes 5'11" and weighs in at 211 pounds. Here are his strengths.
And they changed his name to something like long and Spanish, and they slapped a Theo's fake mustache on him.
He's got low mileage with just 276 career carries. He's built like an NFL runner with well-defined lowers and loose hips. Typically patient as a runner, good vision, and quick to process what he sees. Footwork to probe and dart around early traffic. He's able to string his moves together, instinctive with feel for crevices inside the run lane.
Careful.
Lateral agility.
Watch
for
yourself,
slick side door exits. Oh, we're only getting there. Runs forward lean and squared pads, possesses above average contact balance and falls forward, creates through elusiveness and power, third down option with decent hands and size to block. Weaknesses.
He hasn't got no sack.
Never eclipsed 51 rushing yards against Kentucky, Ohio State, or Michigan. Needs to run with more plant and go mentality. Gets too cute in the hole at times. He lacks explosiveness and speed to the corner. Average access to burst after a cut. No home run speed in the open field. Doesn't separate from linebackers on wheel routes. His chip blocks lack commitment. Ball security appears to be an issue. In summary, well-built glider with the instincts, footwork, and agility to shake tacklers, but the frame and pad level to finish with some authority. He can clearly create yardage for himself, but he has average acceleration and might need to expedite his downhill process as a pro. Sanders is more skilled than explosive, but he has the size and talent to develop into a future starter with every down potential. That is a round 2 grade on Miles Sanders, the running back out of Penn State. A
lot of running backs discussed today on this first edition of Who's Your Guy. Next up for it is Dave and Berwyn on the score. You know the question, Dave. What's your answer?
My guy. Wait for it. Andy Isabella, wide receiver,
yes.
UMass.
All right. Andy Isabella from UMass. He is 5'8 and a half, weighs 188. This wide receiver's strengths.
Wow.
Exceptional short area quickness to burst off the line and out of breaks. Finds space to operate. Always makes himself available. Above average speed that defenses must respect vertically. Slippery ball carrier. Low center of balance to force missed tackles. Heightened sense for weaving through congestion with a neti pot. Natural hand-eye coordination, doesn't play skittish over the middle, or doesn't play skiffle,
easy,
or speak Yiddish. Short, but decently built for his frame. According to the former UMass head coach, one of the hardest workers I've ever coached. Highly productive resume. Played well against Power 5 opponents. Weaknesses.
And I don't know him. Probably a white guy.
Undersized frame with maxed out bulk. Maxed out bulk. Smaller catch radius, relying on his body to finish grabs, not going to win many contested tries. Needs to be more efficient at the top of routes, forcing extra steps. Rarely faced press in college, can be jostled out of physical defenders early in the route. Would benefit by adding more pacing to his patterns. Size limits his upside as a blocker, limited punt return experience. Summary. Overall, Isabella's undersized frame and catch radius might limit his role, but his explosive athleticism and receiving instincts will be a problem for NFL defenses, projecting best in the slot where he can manipulate space. Dane Brugler's grade on him is second to third round, number 64 overall for Andy Isabella. Whoa.
Didn't see that coming.
I did not either. Seattle, Washington, represented by John today. John, who's your guy?
My guy, the SAG machine, Tavon Coney, linebacker, Notre Dame.
Tavon Coney
plays well on an island.
He's 6'1", 234. Yeah, 234 pounds. Here are his strengths.
He got a little pretty male thing.
Athletic frame, has room for additional muscle and overall mass. Shows feel for ball carriers and tensions as interior runner. Active hands and long arms allow him to stack and separate from linebackers. He can play over the top of climbing blockers with hand usage or under them with some edge strength. Works quickly to his run fits and keeps pads square to the line when scraping. Good transition quickness from taking on blocker to becoming a tackler. Maintains vision on ball carrier despite the traffic between them. Comes to balance as downhill tackler and operates with plus form. Sees what he hits and uses his length for optimal tackle finishing. Scouts question his long speed, but he appears to have adequate short area burst for his position. Weaknesses.
Got a personality like a dead moth.
Average change of direction quickness on the move. Willing to gear the motor down at times when play is flowing away from him. Comes in hot and gets too easily sidestepped by his targets on receiver screens to the perimeter. Occasionally loses gap leverage when trying to elude blockers. Allows linemen to climb up on him rather than working downhill to control where the battle is fought. Instincts and response time to misdirection and counters is very average. Faces limitations in man coverage and struggled in that area last season. Overall, Coney is an average athlete with average size, but shows an impressive resilience to stay alive and make tackles, even when he looks like he might be blocked. He's consistent as a square-up, wrap-up tackler, but teams might want to see him play with more juice as a disruptor, willing to take a few more downhill chances. If he runs well and adds some beef, Coney could project as an average starter at a two-down inside linebacker spot. That is a fourth to fifth round.
I was going to say, sounds like a fourth rounder to me.
Draft projection on Tavon Coney out of Notre Dame.
You didn't get on today. You can get on tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, even Friday, because of where the Bears are drafting. We're going to do this even after the draft has already begun, because why not? It is Who's Your Guy. It is back. It is fun, and it is only here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We've got transition coming up in just a little bit. I gotta cool down.
Yeah, that was
I need a little
greasy in here,
a little refractory period here. And you and I are doing something interesting after the show. Right? We're gonna be a little kind of different edition of Leftovers.
It's a break of form for us.
Yeah, it's
help people.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about what they're going to ask me to do. Might have to use a lawnmower.
We'll give it a shot. Transition in a few with Lawrence Solms. It's 670 The Score.
Thanks to Dane Brugler for joining us today, and also throughout the week for providing us with some of the scouting reports. Those of us who were asking where the scouting reports come from, we're using a melange. I've got the Brugler stuff. You've got NFL.com
today
stuff.
I may switch around to some other stuff, but it's all solid.
Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, Adam Studzinski, the producers today, and Brian Gerch had the video feed. Joe Sheehan joins us at 10 tomorrow, and we're going to do more Who's Your Guy at that same time of 11:20.
Yeah, we're doing also something. We're making a list prior to our shows this week. We're guessing who your guys would be.
Mm-hmm.
We went 2 for 5 today with
pretty
David
good.
Montgomery off the board, and of course, Andy Isabella, a day one call. We
had
figured you'd have to ask about Andy Isabella.
We will do transition with Lawrence Holmes. That comes up straight ahead in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. You have the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.